Brethren, never give in to that lie. If you don't meet my needs, I'm going to find them somewhere else. That's why the marriage relationship is so important. That's why when I gave the sermon about marriage, I spoke about the importance of covenant in the marriage. It's not the sexual relationship that makes the marriage, brethren. It is the covenant that makes the marriage. Why do I say that? Because it combines, the marriage relationship combines covenant with feeling. Covenant is what keeps you together when the feeling is not there. Do you understand that the feeling is not always going to be there? I'm speaking very strongly and very passionately today because I hope that this message will go out on the air, and I'd like to actually get this message out on the internet because I think people need to hear this. Not that we haven't been preaching it, but I want them to hear it in such a way that there's no sugarcoating, brethren. People need to understand it is not about feeling. It is not about emotion. It is about covenant. It is about a commitment, brethren. Feeling is fleeting. Anyone who is married knows that. Anyone who is in any kind of relationship knows that because you cannot trust emotions. They're too volatile. Feeling is nice because it makes the relationship, you know, it gives you the warm fuzzies, right? Everyone likes to feel the warm fuzzies. But as we grow and as we mature in our relationships, brethren, we have to always understand that the warm fuzzies simply will not always be there. It's just not reality. Let's go over to Luke 17, which I have brought up in sermons before, but I'd like to go over it again. Luke 17, beginning with verse 1. He, meaning Yahshua, he said to his disciples, "It is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard." Yahshua says, "Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' forgive him." "Well, I'm not going to forgive him. He just keeps doing the same thing over and over and over again." Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm not reading this right. "And if he sins against you," sin is a pretty strong word. "If he sins against you 7 times a day, not 7 times in the course of a month or a year, if he sins against you 7 times a day, and understand, of course, this 7 is not meant to be taken literally. He's trying to say if this person repeatedly fails you, if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you, and of course that's the qualifier, right? He just doesn't do it and takes your grace as a joke. But he sincerely returns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent.' Maybe I'm working on a problem. Maybe I need to work harder. Is it, old habits die hard. But if he comes back to you saying, 'I repent,' 7 times, forgive him." Well, the apostles, of course, reacted just like many of us would react, right? They said, "Master, increase our faith." In other words, this is really hard. How can we do this thing? You know, we all want everyone to forgive us, but when it comes time to forgive someone else, all of a sudden, sometimes the equation changes, doesn't it? Let's be honest with ourselves. We want everyone to extend us the benefit of the doubt because we're working through problems. We have weaknesses. We have things that it's really hard for us, you see, because I'm special. But when the other person is working through a problem, all of a sudden, we want to lay down the law. This is the way it's got to be done, and you're not taking it seriously. You see what's wrong with that picture, brethren? There's something wrong with that. And Yahshua says to them, when they say increase our faith, Yahshua said, "If you had faith like a mustard seed." You ever seen a mustard seed? It's tiny. Very, very tiny. It's like a grain of sand almost. Well, a little bigger than a grain of sand, but it's still very tiny. "If you had faith that small, that much, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." In other words, it doesn't take that much faith. I don't have to increase your faith. You have to exercise the faith that you have, or that you say that you have. Then he gives an example. "Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come immediately and sit down to eat'? But will he not say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink?" Yeah, that's what you're going to say, because he's your servant. That's what you're paying him for. He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We're unworthy servants. We've done only that which we ought to have done.'" I'm not going to give you a pat on the back for doing what your responsibility is. Fathers, I'm not going to give you a pat on the back because you spent time with your children. That's what you're supposed to do. Wives, I'm not going to give you a pat on the back because you prepared something to eat for your husband, or because you made a home that was, and you went through the trouble of cleaning the house and doing what, you know, what would make the home homey. That's part of your responsibility.